Welcome to another episode of Spooky Chris Podcast. I am Chris Ringler, writer and oddball, living in mid-Michigan. This is episode, that's a good question. I've lost count. 17, maybe? 16, 17? Something like that. It's episode something. It'll have a number when I look and sit down and look about it. It's been a second since I podcasted. Last podcast was the, was right as I literally got out of StokerCon, like sick as can be, still kind of getting over the con crud. You know, and I've threw a blog up since then. I don't think anyone actually listens to this, and anyone that does that wouldn't actually physically know me in person. I can't, bless your heart, but I can't imagine. This is hosted at spookychris.com. That's where my blog is. That's where kind of all that stuff is. So when I refer to a blog, that's where it is. If you were to like, what's this blog you speak of? So it was weird. It was weird. So a few weeks ago, I did something, the Flint Comics Con. Flint Comics Con is one of the kind of smaller local / regional conventions you'll find, where it's, most people come from the region and locally. It's, you know, there's not really big names. There's not big artists. There's not big vendors. It's just, it's people, local shops, you know, local authors, local artists, some regional folks, and just kind of people that the, you know, folks that put it on know. That's kind of usually how the local kind of smaller shows work. It's local to me. I know the gentleman that puts it on. And it's nice to do. I mean, I haven't really had the ability to do a lot of shows this year. It's kind of a lost year for me because I've been out of work for so long. So I just didn't have the money to really do shows. StokerCon was a big deal for me because it was something I targeted for a while. And it was a, you know, going to be a bigger show, relatively speaking. So I really wanted to do it. And it's, you know, for that, like, I don't know what the net gain is. Met some folks, like, got my name out there, got my face out there. I don't know that it had any real impact on anything I'll ever do, per se, as far as my writing or any kind of a writing career I don't have. But I'm so, you know, I'm definitely glad I did it. It was great to meet the people I met. It was great to kind of get the experience. You know, since that's an international show now, the odds of me ever being able to go to another one are, you know, pretty much nil. So I'm glad I got a chance. You know, that meant the world to me to be able to kind of do a show, you know, that is that size, is, you know, as far as what it encompasses. And it's, you know, if I had an industry, I don't really have an industry, or an industry doesn't have me. That would be it. That would be, you know, the horror and stuff. I fit in better with that crowd than with any other crowd, really, as far as what I write. But I sidetracked myself a little. But no, it was interesting in that Flint Comics Con was the first show after a friend of mine had died. He committed suicide. And the reason that's relevant is he was the inspiration for one of the main characters in my book series, The Meep Sheep. And so it was really weird. You know, I realized this after he had died, just this, how surreal it is that, you know, this person that is part of these books forever and ever, as long as I exist, anybody who's ever read those books, like, he is a character in them. That, and, like, you know, it's, characters are never exactly the person, because let's face it, we don't really ever know all of a person. We know our version. So it's kind of an homage to him, to my friend Ash, Ashley Pickles, as I call him. I would just bumble Chris to him. He was bumble Ash to me. We worked together for a while, and had gotten close that way. The character of Ashley Pickles was, that's in many ways, that's him. That's my homage to him. He was there when I first started kind of talking about the ideas of Meep Sheep and Bumble Kitties and all of these little weird things in this world. He was there. When we were working together at a vitamin store, he was at ground zero. And, the character of this musician who kind of has to come to their own growth in the books, and a course correction of who they are, that was him in many, as much as anything is ever someone, and it was my hope. I don't know that he ever read them. It's weird because it's not like, I would be curious if someone wrote a character that was me, but then again, I also don't expect someone would write a character that would be me. That would be that would be something I'd want to read. I don't think it would be flattering. I wouldn't expect that. So I don't, so I could get it, but it's not like you can expect someone or demand someone to read it. My friend that was the inspiration for the main character, Messi, again, in many ways that's her, but she was aware of it for a long time because again, she's kind of the pattern for the main character of the books. But I don't know if she ever actually read the books. And she read the I started as one little story, small story, in a chat book. And she has that. She read it, I think. Because I remember it was funny. Back when she was doing some acting, she had it on a set or something. And people in the, whatever she was working on, she did a lot of bit parts. But someone had seen it and had laughed because, flying sheep are kind of funny. So, But it was weird being there and having this thing that's like it's weird to have to kind of try. And again, I sell stuff, I am a very passive seller. I am not an aggressive salesperson. I think I probably mentioned Pat in the past. I have no interest in cajoling, forcing, bugging, nagging someone to buy my books or read them. If you're into it, then I'm down. If you're not, then I'm not going to waste anybody's time. Because I've seen that too much with, the arts in general, especially conventions, but hey, buy this. Oh my God, you have to read this. Oh, it's the best thing you're ever going to read. Oh God, it's going to change your life. this is not my bag. It works for some folks. This is not mine. But it's weird to be in a mentality of I have to some degree sell these books, and it's there's a ghost in it. I have the same thing with Marilyn the Werewolf. I wrote that, literally a year ago. I started thinking about it when my mom was at the end, she was dying in front of us. And I wanted to do something. I'd have to even look at the date, but it was around now a year ago. We all grieve in our own way, and I still don't know if I fully have grieved for her. I need to keep myself together for my family, and I still kind of feel that way. But I wanted to do something to kind of channel what I was going through. And so I wrote this story. I started working on the story, and I ended up writing a story after she had passed. And it's doubly strange with that, because I started working on it, and then we found out our dog we had just adopted a few months earlier was dying, and we would have to put down 2 weeks after Mom left. So they both became kind of the main kind of dual characters in that book. That is a book. Marilyn the Werewolf is full of ghosts, and it's in the kind of the best way, but it's, my mom's in it, our dog, Banshee's in it, her mother, my grandmother and grandfather are kind of referenced in it, her brother, Fred is in it, my mom's brother, a young girl's in it that I don't even think her mom knows, but who has been going, fighting cancer. She's tough kid and battling cancer, and so I have her as a character in it. So she's obviously not a ghost, but and again, like both that and the Meep Sheep books, it's hard because these are people. And again, they're not exactly. I mean, Marilyn Werewolf, that's a lot closer to my mom than Ashley Pickles is to Ash. But I mean, they're still, that's those people. And it's weird because, you know, it doesn't happen all the time. That's one of the things I do love about self-publishing. And I mean, God knows I'm a sloppy person in a lot of this stuff. I go on instinct more than anything else. And I'm sure people would, if they had a mind to, could tear my books apart grammatically, thematically, like story, everything. My focus on all that stuff is telling a good story. If it's a little messy, I can live with that. Like, it's if it's not a good story, then that's just, you know, that kind of blows the whole thing up. But the good thing, you know, one of those good things about self-publishing, you know, I'd written one of the kids' books I wrote. My wife has a friend whose daughter was going through something at school, was going through a hard time. And, you know, I thought, you know, she deserved to kind of see herself in a way that maybe she didn't. So I kind of wrote a story about her kind of being tough and being like, you know, overcoming what she's going through. And it was just kind of a gift, as it were. You know, and then with the book of, you know, Marilyn the Werewolf, like both of those, like, it's cool that you can kind of have something that inspires you or in whatever way, and you can see it to completion, you know, very, very quickly. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I wasn't waiting for a publisher. I wasn't waiting for, like, I did the art myself. I did, you know, everything myself. And while, you know, I wish I had a publisher, I wish I had an agent, I wish I had a lot of things. Like, the ability to do that and to produce something to help me kind of go through all this and deal with it, and like, that was actually, like, really helpful and really cool. But it is weird, like, because these books will always be, you know, people always will ask me, like, oh, what's your favorite book? You know, when I'm at shows selling and stuff, or what one should I get? And I'm kind of like, whatever you want, man. Like, I don't know what you're looking for. It's kind of up to what the person wants. I sell stories in many flavors, to which next podcast should be me reading stories. So, hooray. But, you know, so all my books kind of mean something to me. Like, I have, you know, different ones I love for different reasons. But Marilyn the Werewolf and the Meep Sheep books are going to, you know, now always going to mean something a little different, a little, you know, because of the connection they have to people I knew and know, love. You know, my wife and, you know, her dog that had passed are in the Meep Sheep books. You know, it's just, those are important to me, and it's just weird. Again, like, I'm not a hard salesman. It's like, you know, and it's cool. Like, I, you know, at Stoker, I gave the first Meep Sheep book to someone there for their kid, and I hope that they like it, you know, and hope it means something to them. But, like, you know, it's, I just want to get stories out there. Like, I'm not a great salesperson. Like, I don't real do great at the whole selling. I give out a lot of stuff, which is counterproductive, especially for a guy that's, you know, does his own thing and needs the fracking money. I would just rather get the stories out there, especially stuff like Meep Sheep, you know, and its connection to the people I you know, that were, I would, inspired me. You know, Ash was a great guy. My mom, obviously, you know, I adore my mom. So it was cool that I could kind of do some small thing to, you know, honor them, living or dead. It is weird, though. It is weird because, again, it's super surreal that Ash is gone. And, you know, I think back to the times that he and I had spoken, you know, talking about the books and the story, essentially, of this world with flying sheep and young women becoming queens and, you know, flying bumble kitties. And it's just, it's weird. It seems like in the, you reach a point in your age where, I mean, that feels like a million years ago. Like, it's weird. But it's weird. Those books are haunted. Those books have ghosts. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think the ghosts always have to be bad. I don't think it always has to be like that. But it is strange. And, you know, it gives you pause. It's weird selling them. Like, because again, like, and it's weird, but like, what if someone hates them? What if someone hates the characters or this or that? It's like, yo, man, like, I don't know. The fun part of being creative, I guess. All that weirdo baggage you get. But I hope in some way, you know, I don't know. I hope my mom would have liked her book. You know, I hope Ash at least appreciated his part that he played in the book. Again, I don't know that he ever read it. But I hope he at least appreciated where I was coming from with it. I don't know. Who knows? We never know that stuff, I guess. But that's my hope. So yeah. So you take care, listener. As always, you can find all my information about my books and me and everything else at spookychris.com. That's my little place on the internet. I'm on the Twitters, I'm on the Instagrams, blah, blah, blah. It's at Grim Ringler for both, if you have an interest to follow all that nonsense. But yeah, I will, like, my plan is the next one, I'm going to read the story I read at StokerCon, and maybe, like, my, and then I have another smaller piece that I'll read and for another small podcast. But you take care, traveler, and I will talk to you soon.